Hello, everybody. Good to see you. I'll give everyone a moment to get in. Right. All right. Welcome, everyone. It's good to see all of you. I have been thinking a lot about you these last 2 weeks, and I'm really excited to continue our exploration of rewiring negative thought patterns. Before we do a couple of announcements, housekeeping things. Well, first of all, I should mention, and I think some of you know, I'm recovering from COVID. I'm 10 days out, and I am so much better than I was. And also, I'm not 100% back to myself. I share that with you. Number one, so you know, I'm with you here 100%. I would not have our class today if I wouldn't be. But just on the chance that I have a miss, or I call it a brain fart. Like, I can't totally answer your question in that moment. Just give me a little bit of grace, and I will, if it doesn't happen in the session, I will get it to you after the session. It's a little late in the day for me. So that's the first thing I wanted to make sure that I mentioned. And then a couple of other pieces. So number one, for those of you that would like to attend, and I hope that a number of you are planning on attending. We're going to do our experimental group practice partner session tomorrow with Inbal, and that's at two from 2 to 3 p.m. I think it's 2 to 3:15 p.m. Eastern. There's 75 minutes. Oh wait, I'm looking at the wrong, hold on. Let me make sure I'm looking in the right place. Yeah, 2 to 3:15 p.m. Eastern. So again, that's for those of you that are looking for more practice sessions, are looking to because you want for certification, just because you want more practice, because you want to practice with different people, etc. So we're gonna try that. We've never done something like this before, and I'm really excited to do it. So that time and space will be there for you. You'll get on the call. Inbal will break you up into groups of two. There might be one group of three if it happens to be an uneven amount of people. And then there'll be two coaching sessions within that. You'll have opportunity to coach and to get coached and to reflect as if you would a buddy session, but we're doing it kind of together. You'll pick up the practice, and that can also count as an hour towards your certification. Any questions on that? Inbal will lay out how the call will go, and she'll lead you through it, but just anything you need from me around that right now. No? Okay, good. The second thing I wanted to mention is that I just spoke yesterday to Caitlin and Inbal, and they are in the next week or two going to be reaching out to each of you just for another check-in call. They reached out to all of you a couple months back for a check-in call in November. they spoke to many of you. They didn't, not to all of you. It's all fine and good whether you had the conversation or not, but it's there for you. And this conversation in particular is an opportunity. I was talking about it with them yesterday, an opportunity to kind of set intentions for the last third of the program, for the last 3 months, so that you can make it count in all the ways that you want to make it count. If you need support strategizing like a catch-up plan, if you're not caught up, they can help you with that, and just really help you look at, you know, how you want to really move through and navigate the last 3 months of our program, because I want you all to get to the finish line feeling really empowered and in all the ways that you want to. So be on the lookout for a reach out from them. We did not have a Q&A call in January, but we're starting up again in February, and you should have the schedule for that. I'd love to see you at the Q&A calls if that's something that is valuable for you. As you know, we blueprint for 30 minutes, and then you can ask me any questions. Client case studies, coaching, marketing, business, whatever you need. And then I think just the last thing, we sent out a correction email, but I'm so sorry, by mistake, your cohort got the email about advanced. I'm sorry about that. I think everybody was a little chaotic last week with me kind of being down for the count. It was amazing to get so many emails from so many of you saying that you are interested in continuing our work. And I promise I'll share about that and opportunities when we get closer to the end of Sacred Depths. But for now, I really, you know, stay focused on what we're doing. There's still a lot here for us and a lot that we're gonna explore. The other quickie thing is I'll be sending out an email in the next few days. We're gonna have another, I just added another bonus guest speaker for the beginning of March. It's his name is Bruce Anderson, and he's been through Sacred Depths, and his expertise is on supporting individuals and organizations to find their core gifts, which I think is just a great skill for us as coaches and practitioners to have. So he's going to be sharing a little bit about that and what that means and his process in supporting others to find their core gifts. So I'm excited for that. I did it. He did a gift session with me a couple of months ago to help me find my core gifts. And it was a really beautiful process. Any questions on anything that I mentioned or any other housekeeping pieces, anything that anyone needs before we dive into our content for the day?
Hey, Joanna, do you happen to have a date for that session with Bruce?
Yep. Let me see.
Glad you're feeling better, by the way.
Thank you. March 3rd at 3 p.m. Eastern. And we'll send an email about that soon.
March 3rd, you said, right?
Yep, March 3rd, 3 p.m. Eastern.
Thank you.
Any other cues? Oh, thank you, Kim. I meant to mention that. There's no new PDFs for today's call, but the usually I do rewiring in one call, and for our cohort, I decided to divide it into two. So you actually have already from last time everything that you need for today's call. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that was the one thing I didn't actually write down. I made COVID brain. I made a note in my mind and I forgot to say it. All right. So with that, let's dive in. And I know maybe it feels like forever ago. For me, it certainly does, because I've been on a journey since our last call. But even if it does feel like forever ago, I'm wondering what's been on your mind or what's been percolating for you around thought patterns and rewiring thought patterns. We looked at a lot in our last session. You know, we looked at what are negative thought patterns, we looked at catastrophic thinking, We looked at how quickly thoughts happen in our minds and how sometimes, if we're not on top of it, we don't even know that we've had the thought. We just think it's a truth, not a thought. We looked at the power of the mind and we looked at pain bodies and, being addicted to some of the less helpful thoughts in a way. What else did we look at? And then we started to look at step one of the actual process, which is supporting our clients to identify their negative thoughts. And we looked at just different ways for us as practitioners, from David Burns, to identify different types of negative thoughts. So, what's been percolating? I'm wondering if you've been aware of your thoughts or starting to look at this with clients, or what have you been seeing and noticing? Cindy.
I love this. I thought, oh my gosh, I've done this before. And then I answered the questions and went, no, I haven't done this before. And so it really brought up, it took me to a deeper level of looking at negative thoughts of I had a lot on not good enough. And when I asked the questions, it took me to, okay, it's not perfect enough. And so you've got to keep doing it better. And that driver force of doing it better created a work ethic of always working and always never being satisfied with a piece of work or facilitation that how could I have done it better? And that it then left to, well, where did I originally hear that voice from? Was again from my upbringing, and then letting that go. And the piece that I got yesterday, as I've been letting it kind of ruminate, is I was dealing with something for my mom about her medications, and before I'd be like, can't they get this right? Like, don't, can't they do this good enough? And it changed to, oh, I'm curious why they've changed this. How, who could help me with this? How could I find the answer to this rather than blaming them, which I learned from my mother was if something didn't work well, she would blame somebody else. And it's just been under the current, you can, when I did affirmations, you could ride over it, but this was under the current, like underneath. And these questions really, thank you so much. It really opened up a whole new avenue and created an integration to react differently. And so, Nahal and I did this with my session, and we just had so much fun with it that we're just gonna work on it again to go even deeper.
Love it. I love it. I'm so happy. And thank you for sharing. And it's such a beautiful example of the power of the work. And also, what you shared is like just affirmations alone, they're not gonna change the thinking and they're not gonna change the reactions and the responses to the thinking. It does need these layers to it. And I love how, as you were describing, it's like you were really following, it was there all along, but it was just happening so quickly that you didn't see it, following how the one thought led to the thought, next thought, which led to the action, which led to, and that's how it goes. And that's what I mean is like these things happen so quickly inside of us. We want to slow them down and unpack them. Beautiful, thank you.
Yeah, so I had the opportunity to share it with one of my clients yesterday, a university student, negative thought pattern, and it worked really well because there's a lot of questions, right? And I still was able to go through it in probably 40 minutes with
That's
him
great.
to see a difference. So thank you.
You're so welcome. Anyone else want to share what's been on your mind, what you've been seeing and noticing? Simona.
think this is just brief, and it just all of everything we keep learning is the same reinforcement, but that self-compassion, like what is to ourselves and for our clients and helping them find that, like what is the symptom, what is it protecting, like, and then how do you like break it into tiny threads that are digestible and respond with, of course you think that way given the circumstances that you are in and the history that you're looking, the history colored glasses you're looking through, and of course that's where you are right now. Let's like make this a tiny thread and look at it in a safe way.
Yeah.
And look at it again, and I feel like each week we're learning the same thing, and it's just deeper learning. But I think if I could summarize the whole piece, it would just be having the ability to have that self-compassion and other compassion to just really look at everything again and again to see deeper knowings.
Yeah, I love that you're bringing that in. The self-compassion is so important. And kind of along with that, like to just extend that out, is also to not make the thinking wrong. We want to understand this also as practitioners. When we uncover a belief that's not working for a client or not working anymore for a client, we're not labeling that belief as bad. Obviously, we're not labeling the person as bad for thinking the belief, but I even want to go further and say, like, it's not even about a belief is good or bad, right? We looked at this in our last session. It's, is this belief helpful or unhelpful? And if it's unhelpful, let's find a different perspective. Let's find a different way of approaching this situation. Let's find a different thing to believe. And that's, it's so subtle, right? It's so, so subtle, but it makes such a difference, both in terms of the journey with our clients of them learning more and more self-compassion and more self-love, and also in terms of not going into resistance, right? Because the second we make something wrong, there's like, there wants to be push, shame or push against it or whatever it is. We're not making anything wrong. We're just looking at how to optimize more and more.
So yeah, thank you. It's fun to, it softens everything and it's gentler and it's, oh my God, I just realized as I was speaking. So my career upbringing is in a very masculine centric culture because of my background before this. And so that masculine centric would be like, figure it out. And this is so soft. It's like a softening back, and it's a feminine power that is, again, now I'm a little more insights into my brain, sorry, but just like just putting together, like culturally, I was so conditioned that like this is strong and this is not strong, and this is like earthquakes and Grand Canyon power. Like this is everything. So wow, I learned something new even as I was talking. Thank you.
I love it. Earthquakes and Grand Canyon power. Yes. Yeah. Kim.
I felt my heart beating really hard as I was like, should I share this? Should I not share it? And that's usually my sign that I need to express myself. So for me, oddly enough, this work is coming into my new moon practice and the ways in which I'm working with it in how I'm thinking about intentions for the energy that I want to call forward in the month. And that requires me to use the process, kind of like what Simona was saying, like it's not this one and done, good enough, perfect. It's more this way that I work with it through the month. Mm-hmm. And so that rewiring stuff kind of came into it because there's a lot that is, this winter has been very powerful for me in clearing, releasing, surrendering, and stepping into what is natural rhythms for me. And so I've always judged myself that my way of integrating is so slow, and it is so, but it's that I'm actually like integrating it and embodying it as I do it, so that it's slower. And the moon cycles have been very supportive of that, and the seasonal stuff. And I guess I feel like I did a really freaking fantastic intention this time. And so I'm looking forward to this month because it is more about my body work and restoring my health and stuff. And I think I finally got it because I was rewiring how I was thinking about the feeling aspect of how some of this work that we do feels inside our bodies.
I love everything that you just said, and just that slow power, right, of, you know, doing the work to really embody the new thoughts and the new feelings. That's not, that to me, that's slowing down to speed up.
Oh, I think Mindy said this at one point, like part of being on a health journey is the ways in which you're forced to slow down, but then it flips and you like embrace the slowdown.
Yeah.
And so now it's about like, how do I emerge into the spring while still bringing the ways that I want to be forward with me as I do my work.
Yes.
So it is a slower process than some of the busyness that I see everybody else do, but I'm not judging myself for my pace with it because yes, I know that I'm doing what feels like important work within that, myself.
That right there is a massive paradigm change and a huge win. And I just really want to acknowledge you and celebrate you for that.
That's why my heart was pounding. But I need to recognize it because it is part of, like, it's informing everything that I'm doing right now. But it does feel tender to talk about it because I have encountered where I've talked about these things, maybe not articulated it so well, and then felt the energy of others kind of try to squash it or not understand it or any of that. And I don't have that pressure on myself anymore. It's like, this is who I am. I understand it. If other people do, great. If they don't, I don't have to internalize that as anything.
I love it. I love it. And I can see it and feel it in your energy as you speak and in your face as you speak. And I just can't help but also throw in there that I think it's powerful and auspicious that you happen to be sharing this on a new moon and on the eve of Imbolc, which is a earth holiday that is all about the quickening, right? Like the setting of the deeper intentions that were maybe sparking during winter solstice. So I'm getting chills. It feels like perfect synchronicity that you're expressing this today.
When they were talking about tiger and water energy this year, I was like, this is my year. I am going to, and I, fierce serenity is my, like one of my phrases that I picked. And I'm like, this is so my year. Like, finally. So thank you. Thank you for letting me say that.
Thank you for sharing yourself with us. All right. Well, with all of that, let's keep on going and jump in more deeply. So our call last time was really, for the most part, giving you sort of those foundational understandings around negative thought patterns and how we want to approach this with ourselves and with our clients, and understanding a little bit about the mind and neural pathways, etc. And today I want to get us into, okay, so I'm going to say it and then I'm going to take it back. Today I want to get us into the steps that we want to take clients through or ourselves through to support them to rewire negative thought patterns. And then this is me taking it back. I'm just going to share the steps, but remember, always coach the what based on the who. And so not every situation is going to require all of these steps in this order. And I promise you, if as I say that, you're like, oh my God, but how am I supposed to know? You will know. Your job is to learn the steps And then if you show up with your full presence, you know, energetics aligned, deep listening in your sessions, you will know how to walk someone through using all or some of these steps in this order or not. And I will also, if we have time at the end of our session today, I'll give you an example of actually a session that I did yesterday where I went out of order. And what it looked like, just to kind of give you some other options. So we did start in our last session to look at step one of the process, if we're gonna do linear and name the steps, which is identifying the negative thought, right? We want, in order to rewire and to create a new neural pathway, a new embodied feeling with a new thought, a new feeling, first we kind of have to name, identify, the old one, or the working one, and the one that is no longer helpful. So last week, we just looked for our practitioners' understanding and sake at different types of negative thoughts, so that it can help you as the practitioner when you're using your listening skills and in conversation with clients, maybe see some of these a little bit easier. And a little bit more quickly. But you can also, you know, ask your clients questions that will help them and the two of you identify what the limiting belief is. So for example, if you're listening to a client and you sense there's some kind of limiting thinking, you can just simply ask, what's the belief that's holding you back right now? Just as simple as that. Or another way, if it's appropriate in the moment, you can ask, what's the belief underneath the fear that you're experiencing right now, right? So if a client is saying, like, I'm so scared that nobody's gonna sign up for the program, well, what's the belief underneath that fear? Or another way you can ask, what's the story that you're telling yourself right now about this situation? What's the story that you're telling yourself right now? One of the reasons why I like that question is that it already just, even embedded in that question itself, it gets at one of the things that we were looking at last time, which is that with negative thought patterns, we want to sort out story from truth, right? So it's already starting to chip at that. What's the story you're telling yourself right now? Or what's the thought that's stopping you in your tracks right now? So you may have already done this for homework, but let's just take a minute or two to do it right now. I want to invite you right now to make a list. It can be a short list, doesn't have to be exhaustive, of some of your most common negative thoughts. Whatever comes to mind for you. And it can be anything about your health, your work, your relationships, who you are as a parent, as a friend, your home. What are some of the unhelpful thoughts that are pretty common for you? Take another moment with that. And if you want to share one or two in the chat, please go ahead. Yeah, I get that, Simona. So what are some of your common, not so helpful thoughts? My body is too weak to XYZ. I'm too tired to be more effective today. If no one signs up, it's a relief. I don't have to do the work now. My extended family doesn't understand me or like me. Lauren Singh, no one understands me or values me or cares about what I have to say. They won't pay for this. I'm always going to be broke. Jamie, I need to X, Y, whatever it is before, and insert anything there, right? Before acting. Yes. My body is working against me and what I want to create. Good. Who else? I'd love to hear some more. People don't really love me. Yep. I can have love or financial abundance, but not both. I'll have to settle. Yeah. Yeah, I agree, Simona. It's powerful to witness both for ourselves and also, you know, for our, just to hear more, because these are so normal, what everybody is sharing, and it comes up for our clients. Carlita saying, I'm inadequate, not good enough, not organized enough, I don't do enough, Cindy's saying, yeah. I should have done more with my life by this point. Yeah. I won't be able to handle the client load once I start having more success. Fear of taking on the responsibility. That's a biggie I just noticed for myself. I was doing strategic planning for this year. And, you know, you all know I'm not a, like, I need more and more an empire builder kind of person. But as I was doing my strategic planning, I was noticing that, like, I just felt like it was not, I wasn't allowing myself to really have the vision for the year that I wanted. And I was telling myself, like, because that's going to be too tiring, because that's going to be too much. It's going to be too much responsibility. And it may end up that that is the case. But I don't know yet, and I needed to call that out for myself and identify that for myself to take a deeper look. Mindy's saying I won't be able to live my life in a way that feels right to me. Alana's saying I'll never succeed in business if I can't stop being weird and in denial about money and selling. I'll never get this right. Yeah, things have to feel hard. If they feel easy, it's too good to be true, or I'm missing something. Just think about how much energy each of these thoughts take from us and how much energy it takes to keep up even with these thoughts. It's all my fault, yeah. Okay, so once we've identified the thought that isn't helpful, the thought that wants to be rewired, then a next step is to explore the negative thought. And if you remember back to Befriend Your Fear, this is actually similar, a little bit of a similar trajectory so far. We want to identify a fear, and then we want to explore the fear a bit more. Same with a negative thought. It's just a version of this. We want to explore the negative thought. We want to understand it more. We want to unpack it. We want to see how it's been working in our life or in our client's life. We want to gain some more insight into it, into why it's there, and into how it functions. We kind of want to make friends with the thought in a way, so that we can take it out of the blind spot. Again, similar to the fear, right? Take it out of the blind spot, see it for what it is. Then when we can take it out of the blind spot, gain insight, see it for what it is, we have more choice to work with it then. It's kind of more in our hands then. So there are a lot of different ways that you can support a client to explore the negative thought. A visualization / somatic is one way. We're gonna do that together in a moment. And then there are other ways as well that we'll look at after that. So I'll take you through this. So pick of all of the unhelpful thoughts that you just wrote down for step one, pick the one that you want to work with a bit more today, one that you want to focus on a bit more today. And we'll use that one for this step two. So if it's we're gonna close our eyes if it's comfortable for you for a few minutes. If not, keep your eyes open, but metaphorically metaphorically close your eyes. I told you I didn't have all my words today. Whatever these things on top of your eyes are. Okay. So you can close your eyes if that's comfortable and take a moment, get centered, and come into your body. Really be with your body. And find your breath. Inhale and exhale. Be present with yourself and with your body. Give yourself permission to go inwards, knowing that when you journey into yourself, there is always gold to be found. Knowing that you will find and uncover and see exactly what you are meant to find and uncover and see today. And whatever that negative or unhelpful thought is that you want to work with, if you are able to visualize, I want to invite you to call that thought forward in human or animal form. So if you're able to visualize, I invite you to call that thought forward in human or animal form. And if you're not able to visualize, I invite you to do the same thing and just sense it in front of you. So it might be a young boy with a dunce cap or a really unattractive version of yourself. Whatever the negative thought is, allow it to come up for you either visually or energetically in human or animal form. And I invite you to be with it. I invite you to connect with it. I invite you to hold space for this negative thought as if you were holding space for a client that you were supporting. Connect with it, be with it, feel into it. If you can see it, see the details. Notice either the details of the visual or the details of the energy and how it feels. And ask this thought that has been coming up for you, this negative thought, ask it how long it's been with you. How long has it been with you, this thought? And continue to connect with it, be with it, hold space for it, and ask this thought, where do you come from? What brought you into being? However, this is unfolding for you. It is exactly right, exactly as it's meant to unfold. Continue to connect with this thought and ask it if it has a role model. Who or what did it model itself on? Who or what is its role model? Ask it how it functions in your life. How does it show up? What are the actions that you take because of this thought? What are the feelings that you feel because of this thought? How does it function in your life? It's without judgment, hold space. And then as you continue to connect with this thought, really connect with it and ask it from its highest self, what does it really want for you? What does it really want for you from its highest self? Continue to connect with it and ask it if there's anything else it wants you to know right now. And then take a moment, thank the thought for bringing itself known, for bringing information today. And then let it go. Let it disappear for now. And take a couple of inhales and exhales, and then open your eyes when you're ready. Come back fully present to our time. And you can take a moment and jot down some notes from that. And we've got time for one or maybe two shares. I'd love to hear from one or two of you. So what came up for you personally through that? Shauna.
So mine actually, I'm sitting here in the moment, eyes closed, laughing because you offered the option of an animal. So my fear is just a general blanket not enoughness, you know, not smart enough, not capable enough, not educated enough. And this has been a pervasive thing for me in my business forever, as long as I can remember. And my image was of a groundhog.
It is Groundhog's Day.
Right? A groundhog who keeps peeking out, tentatively peeking out, ready to engage back into the world, into the spring. Nope. I saw my shadow. I'm going to go back in. I'm going to hide again. I'm afraid. I'm going to hide again. And it just had me laughing, but it's so perfect that I'm this groundhog that keeps hiding. And what's the message? Come out of hiding. Stop being afraid of the shadow. It's time to be done being afraid of the shadow.
I am getting like full body chills as you're talking. It's just such a powerful image and such a power representation of what I sense is going on inside of you all the time, the in and the out and the, yes. Like you want to be out, oh no, shadow, you know, like yep. It's not time, right? And so I'm so glad that you have that for yourself to work with and be aware of, and then this beautiful wisdom that it's bringing because it came to you so powerfully. If this resonates, I recommend continuing the dialogue with the groundhog. I would do a couple sessions this week. You can ask the groundhog specific questions, what it needs to be better friends with you, what it wants. You can ask it about specific situations, its highest wisdom, but I would deepen that relationship. I think there's a lot there for you.
Oh, I'm sure there is, and I absolutely will, so thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Nihal.
Hi.
Hi.
That was so yummy. Thank you. It was intense. So I ran with the fear that Jessica presenced, which is I should have changed the world more by now. And what came up as it was being personified, even before you had asked for it to take on certain characteristics, at first I saw like the image of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And because I'm like, this is the first year I'm older than he was when he died. So I'm like grappling with that. And then I looked closer and it was like a white capitalist patriarch wearing a mask, like whitewashing his message. I was like, what's going on? And I tried to like look behind the mask, because the mask like is this facade of like innocence and elegance and activism. Anyway, so behind the mask, and it just like shrunk down and became a maggot until it was like this little parasite worm like squirming in my hand. And it gave me that like, ew, parasite feeling, like all of the, you know, just, you know, the feeling. It like completely like, oh, this thing is worming through my blood, this white supremacist yuck. And it going deeper and deeper, when we were looking at where did it come from, I came back to first grade as this little like sensitive child who had this spiritual impulse to serve and to expand. And I met the 1980s and tried to make sense of what it means to expand and serve in such a toxic concept. And it just gave me so much compassion for, you know, trying to do that and then becoming a workaholic and like all of the things. It just felt so like easy to have compassion for that space. And ultimately the thing that is there for me to see is that I, you know, there's the work is still there and there's still the walking forward, and it's the shame that keeps me disengaged that is the patriarchy, white capitalist, blah, blah, blah machinery winning again. And that's the voice of the, you should have changed the world more by now. So really juicy. Thank you.
Yeah. It feels like that's like a whole journey with many pieces in there. And I'm glad that you stayed present to it. And that where you landed is the compassion and the self-compassion that feels like a really important antidote to the shame.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jessica, for that fear.
Hima saying, similar to Shauna, my visualization was a dark gray cat tentatively slinking around the edges, unsure whether to get closer. The message was that I was untrusting and need to find supportive tribe and supportive environment in order to feel safe and thrive. Full. Okay, I wish we could spend the rest of our time on these shares and just this part. But I want to keep on going. So first of all, this kind of, whatever you want to call it, visualization or somatic process, obviously when we're working one-on, you know, I kind of did it in a way for all of us because we're in a group, but when we're working one-on-one with a client, you can do it as a dialogue. So with each question that you ask, have your client answer. And you can use all the questions that I asked here, and you have that as a script in your member center. But you can also vary your questions, use all of your questioning skills, you know, when you can have that one-on-one dialogue. In our next session, I'm going to do a demo of a one-on-one process, and so we can get deeper into that and unpack that. For the step two of exploring the thought, you can do it in this way, in this somatic way, but that's only one way to do it in. You can also just simply ask questions of your client. You can ask any of the questions that I asked in that process. You can ask it just in conversation. How long has this thought been with you? Who do you think was the role model for that thought? Et cetera, et cetera. There's often, as we've seen before, there's often value in doing it in, again, not, it doesn't have to be visualization for people that can't visualize, but for lack of a better word, in meditation or somatic process, there are benefits for a lot of people to do it that way. There's oftentimes a more openness. There's oftentimes like a more direct pathway to intuition, to not just like the canned answers necessarily, to seeing different things. And obviously, as we saw from the shares, if imagery is part of the process and can be part of the process, it can be so powerful and enhance the energetics of it, and all of that. But that being said, there's some people, or there are going to be certain instances where it isn't going to make sense. And so asking questions. So any of the questions that I asked in that process, and new ones will come, you know, as you're working with your client. And here's some other questions that you could add to that process that we just did or in conversation. A powerful one sometimes is, who would you be betraying if you were to be thinking differently here? Who would you betray if you were to have a different thought here, if you were to be thinking differently here? That can oftentimes be really powerful. Or another powerful question when you're exploring, who or what part of yourself would you need to forgive in order to change your thinking here? Who or what part of yourself would you need to forgive in order to change your thinking here? That can often bring up a lot of insight and open up the energy a lot for change. Or another one that I sometimes like to ask is, how is this thought protecting you? How is this thought protecting you? So another way that you can explore the thought that you're working on for yourself or with your client is through art. You can, and somebody brought, I think it was Stacy that brought this up. Are you here today, Stacy? Oh, she's not here today. I think she was saying she, in our last call, that she was using art in some of her thought work with clients. You can ask a client to draw the negative thought, and it doesn't have to be representational. Like, they can draw the energy of the thought. It can be abstract, right? And then you can ask them questions like, what is that part of the drawing about? And how does that part feel? And right, like, and, or you can just even ask these questions of the drawing itself. So that's another way to move through this that activates, you know, different levels of learning and processing and can get at things in different ways. You can ask a client to stand up. And I want to encourage you all to do this over this week for yourself. You can ask a client to stand up and walk the way the negative thought would walk, so that they can feel it in their body as they move, what that feels right. And you can ask them questions as they're moving and walking, or what's the position, right? Like, what is, would this negative thought be like laying in the, you know, the chair like this, or, you know, like really, really busy, you know? So again, different ways to open up through four levels of learning and processing, and then ask some of these other questions that we're looking at to explore the thought. Does that make sense? So over this week, I want to invite you for yourself to do a couple of things. Number one, I want to encourage you to continue to dialogue with your thought. It's harder to do it, visualization or closing your eyes, when it's not being held. So writing, journaling with it can be really helpful. If you want to do a drawing, do a drawing, and then journal about the drawing or unpack the drawing. You can do a dance I can sometimes do like a song that I think represents the thought, right? And like, how does it move? And then if you do that though, put on a counterbalance song after that, and then move to that, to move out of the energy. But it, you'll learn a lot by observing these things. All right, let me pause here. There's still more steps, but I'd love to hear, what are you seeing? What's coming together for you so far in the process? Or what questions do you have? Anyone want to share? What are you seeing so far? Yeah, the options for embodiment as a way to integrate. And different clients will, you know, will like different things. And but it's good to experiment for ourselves too. Not only for our personal use, then it helps us kind of support clients in it. Anyone else want to share anything? What's coming together or any questions so far? No? Okay, so let's keep on going. So next step, and again, remember, I'm kind of doing this in a linear way for us to learn, but it's not like, you know, checking each step necessarily in this way. Next step is it true? Is the thought true? Supporting your client to get clear on, you know, that step that what we were talking about last week, the separation of truth from story, and to start to open up. I mean, already you've opened through the steps one and two, you've opened up this pathway of, oh, this may not be true. There might be other ways of thinking here, that right there are other, there might be other possibilities here. But sometimes you might want this step three as a formal, and remember back to in our questioning module, I shared with you, there are some, not very many moments, but there are some really powerful moments to use yes or no questions. This is a moment, if you sense that a client really needs to affirm that this belief isn't true, this is a moment for a yes or no question so that they can like affirm it for themselves. So you might just ask, is this thought actually true? Does this thought always have to be true? Is it possible that it's not true? Or if you're sensing there's like a lot of, there may be resistance, you say, is it possible that it's not exactly true, right? So just like leave that open for them. How do you know that this belief is true? Or you can ask a number question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how true, like how much is that thought truth? Simona, did you have a question?
You know what, I should just let it roll. I was just with the story, like there's so much, I guess a part of me just went into the, oh, for myself, and I might have also been overfunctioning because I know I'm not the, there is another person I heard once mention that before. And it's just that for some of us, our stories actually are true. And so, but I might be overfunctioning. So let me just check in with myself. I think I might have been overfunctioning for myself and others, but so all I'll just say is that I love everything you said about stories not being true, but I also want to put voice to that sometimes for some of us, the true stories absolutely are true, and still we can choose to say that's not the story we want to groove, or that's not, that was true, and I am now going to embody something different so that even though they are not going to change, the story can change. They will do the same thing, and it is true, and I'm not gaslighted, but I am different. So.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. That's it, 100%. It, for sure, our beliefs come from lived experiences. you know, so much of the time. And 100%, like, we want and need, in order to be in integrity and trauma informed, like all the things, we need to honor that lived experience and honor that it may have been true for a long time. And that can exist, and this is what you're saying, Simona, like that can exist in the same space of, and that's not so helpful to always fall back on. And so where can I shift this to make it more helpful for me? What is the different perspective here? So yes, 100%, and I'm glad that you're bringing that in. So we're not, and again, just to be clear, like in all this, we're not denying truth or lived experience or gaslighting. This is about perspective. And we looked at this too in our last session from A Course in Miracles. A miracle is a shift in perspective, not necessarily, oh, that didn't happen, or this is never going to happen again. But it's a shift in perspective. And those are the thoughts that we're talking about here. So thanks for clarifying that. Okay. Step four. And step four, in the process that we did in step two, we already started inching in here. And sometimes that's enough. But sometimes it wants to be its own step. What's the higher wisdom? Or what's the new thought possibility or the new perspective? What's the shift in perception, right? However you want to say it. But basically this step is about finding that higher wisdom or what that shift in perception is or what that more helpful perspective is. We need to, it's important to like to name it, and for the, and sometimes a client won't be able to name it right away, and sometimes we work with them to like to find the right words that feel really right for them, so that they can hook onto that and they can rewire that new thought or that new perspective or that new perception. So sometimes I'll ask the question of what's the higher wisdom. Well, I'll get to the questions that I ask in a moment because I want to talk about that for a second. But again, like sometimes there's a little bit of back and forth before we find the words that are exactly right for the client, and other times it just on first try, it's there. This step is about activating the spirit level of learning and processing. This is about that higher wisdom. This is about connecting to something bigger than what we know, right? The belief, the only belief that we know. So that's why I like to ask, what's the higher wisdom here, or what's a higher belief here, or what's a more helpful belief here? Sometimes here you can ask, what would spirit, if you know someone uses the language of spirit, what would spirit want you to believe here? What would you want your kids to know about this? That's actually a way of activating spirit level. Hima's asking in the chat, the difference, can I clarify the difference between perspective and perception? Hima, I don't know that I can, but I don't, can anybody else who wants to help us out here? What's the difference between perspective and perception, or is there a difference in perspective and perception? Kim is saying perception is what you interpret. Anyone else want to chime in? I'm using them interchangeably. But I am, after this class, going to go and look up in the dictionary and see if there's an actual difference. Rana's saying, and that perception can equal projection. Do you want to explain? Do you want to explain that, Rana?
I'll try.
Yeah, we're in experimental phase here, so it's all
right?
Good.
Right? Wow. Yeah, I was having some of these dynamics just earlier over the last couple of days, and it's, you know, it's that, what is the, if the perspectives slash perceptions that we carry are then also being projected onto another person's understanding of the story. And similar to what Simona was offering around what the version of truth really is.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And that is kind of a mind blah. And I've heard this phrase though a lot, that the perceptions can equal the projection.
Yeah.
And maybe we as coaches can do that, and our clients can do that as well.
Yeah. That's really interesting. Like, that's one to chew on for sure. I'm going to think on that one. I that makes sense to me though.
It's made sense to me recently in some things as it relates to that story, especially when perhaps, you know, groups, and we can see this collectively in the world, of course, and between individuals around whose version of the truth and or story is real.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. That reminds me, I mean, we're getting off course here, so I'm just going to say this because I think it's, it will be helpful for somebody and then we'll move on. But what Rana is saying is reminding me. So I think some of you know, I have my master's in art history and I was a curator for a long time, but I remember in grad school, one of the photography classes that I took, our textbook, the title was A History of Photography, as opposed to The History of Photography. And it's like, for 20 years, it stuck with me. I just thought it was so profound in academia 20 years ago that they were naming that it was just one perspective. It was one history, not the truth and the history. So all this being said, Hima, I hope that we sort of answered your question, but I'm going to do some more digging too. It may have came through in the process that we did in step two, but I'll ask you more directly now. When you think about the thought that you've been working with today, what's the higher wisdom? Or what's a more helpful thought or perspective that you'd like to start leaning into? So what is that higher thought? And then whatever that higher thought is, take a moment and pretend like you already believe it fully. Probably you don't yet. That's very normal, and that will be normal for your clients. But take a moment and pretend like you believe it fully. How does that thought feel? in your body. Take a moment with your body and really feel the thought in your body. Just be with it. I like to add this piece in because even though we're working with thoughts, we're also want to be working with embodied feelings of thoughts, and it can help. Okay, so we've identified the more helpful thought, the perspective that is going to really support the client to feel better, to create more of what they want, you know, et cetera, et cetera. We're still on four, Kim. So the feeling is kind of just part of the what's the higher, identify cognitively the higher wisdom and then feel it. And then the last step is create the new neural pathways through thinking the new thoughts, taking the new actions, and consistently feeling the new feelings. That's a long one. I'll pop it in the chat. Create the new neural pathways through thinking the new thoughts, taking the new actions, and consistently feeling the new feelings. So this is where we go from breakthrough to transformation. Breakthrough is, oh, there's this possibility of this new thought. I can feel this new thought. I'm willing to think about moving forward with this new thought. The transformation is actually having that thought become more and more home base. And no myth of perfection on that, right? But to like remember to come back to it at least and to feel it in your body. So by practicing, by coming back to the new thought and practicing the new thought and practicing the new feeling, that's when you're making those deeper grooves in your brain that we spoke about. And also by taking actions. We're going to get there in a moment too. So what I have seen in all of my experience is that, sorry, I just want to open this shade up. It is not helpful to just simply repeat the new thought. I am good enough. I am good enough. I am good enough. It's not. That's like that doesn't really do it. Now, we've already done steps 1 through 4, which is all like it's already helping it take root. But when I say practice, here are some more effective ways that actually help groove the neural pathways. So number one, write about it every day or 3 times a week for a few weeks, right? Start with the prompt of I am good enough and defend that statement for 10 minutes. Bring your lawyer self out, right? I happen to be looking at Rebecca right now, but all of us can bring our lawyer selves out and defend the new statement, right? And write on it. That's practicing the new thought. We can embody the new thought and the feeling, right? Come back to this feeling of, you know, actually, I am good enough. I can feel that in my stomach. I can feel that in my heart. We can dialogue with that new thought. One way of repeating it that I have seen for myself and others can be helpful is repeat it, but with each time you want to say it out loud and then breathe it into every nook and cranny in your body. So like say it and then breathe it in and really like let it settle, or sing it, make up a song about it, right? So these are different ideas and ways. Kim is saying, I found tracking the evidence was helpful in proving to myself. Yes, I love that. And I think we have a similar kind of tracking thing in the member center and the worksheets to be, well, maybe not tracking the evidence. I like that too, of like, where can, because we're so often, I love this, Kim, because we're so often like looking for evidence to prove the old thought, like, see, I'm not good enough, see, nobody's ever gonna love me, right? Like, we can find that in anything. I love this, track the evidence of the new thought. Here's the other piece though with this step. It really helps to pair the inner work with outer action. It really helps to pair the inner work with outer action. So, and this is something you want to strategize with your clients, right? So one thing I like to say sometimes is, if you might not believe this fully yet, right? But if you were to believe this new thought fully, if you were to believe that you are good enough, what are two things that you would do differently this week? What is one thing that you know, or what is one thing you would do every day if you really believed that you were lovable no matter what? And then support your clients to take those actions. The outer actions will reinforce the new thoughts. The working on the new thoughts will reinforce the outer actions. And then that's how change happens. Okay, so that being said, when you think about your new thought that you identified, or your new belief, what are one or two actions, they can be baby action steps, that you want to take this week in support of those new thoughts? Okay, so we're at 4:23 Eastern. I've got 15 more minutes that I wanna cover. If you can hang on, we'll probably go 8 or 10 minutes past, please do. If not, you'll catch the recording. But I wanna make sure I get this piece in because I think it will be really helpful. And then I'll open up for Q&A and thoughts, you know, for anyone that's still hanging around. And of course, you can ask questions next week as well. But I want to share with you, I had a session yesterday where I went through these steps, and I want to just kind of give you some highlights of that session, because I think it will help you take this all more deeply and integrate it, and also see that it doesn't, you can mix and match pieces, and it, you know, always coach the what based on the who, and there isn't just one way to get to what you want. So I had a session yesterday with someone who's not a regular client. She's someone who is actually in the new cohort of Sacred Depths that just started today, and she got a bonus session. And so we were only meeting this once. I didn't know that much about her, and obviously we weren't having follow-up sessions. And she came into the call, and when I asked her, as I always do at the beginning of a call, you know, what's your intention? What is it that you'd really like to receive? She said that she wanted to get clarity on the next steps of her relationship with her partner. She wasn't sure if she should leave the relationship or stay in the relationship. So we clarified that intention a bit more, and then we got to work. It took a little bit of time to pinpoint, but after some questioning, what this client said was she feels that if she stays in the relationship, she's not going to get her needs met and she's going to sacrifice. But if she leaves the relationship, she'll be all alone. And she made these hand signals. If I stay in the relationship, I'm not going to get my needs met. I'm going to be sacrificing. But if I leave the relationship, I'm going to be all alone. And so I could see from her words and also from her hand motions that she was in that all or nothing thinking, right? One of those types of negative thinking patterns that we identified last week. It was this or this. This was not helpful thinking for her. There was a limiting belief there that she can either be in a relationship or not sacrifice herself, but she couldn't have both together. So I reflected back to her what I was hearing, and I kind of did it with the hand motions too, so she would have the visual that she created. And then I further created awareness, and I said, well, it makes perfect sense that you're having trouble gaining clarity about the relationship, because neither of those alternatives sound pretty good to me. That may not have been the exact words. You know, you probably don't want either of those alternatives. And through doing that, she was able to identify, right? Step one, she was able to identify this is the thinking that she was applying to the situation. This, I can't have what I want. I can either have this or I can have this. So from there, we moved on and I asked some questions. And what she came to is that the reason why she felt this way is because that has been her experience since she was a baby. She could never get her needs met in relationship. And she was able through that exploration to see that she's always applied this thinking to her romantic relationships, either this or this. And she was able to really see that this is what was keeping her in this indecision about the relationship. So this was step two. We explored the thought. I didn't do a visualization or a somatic process. We were just talking about it. She saw these pieces. So then we moved on, and this was a version of step three. I used the visuals again with the hands, and I said, and again, I'm just giving you the highlights. There are a lot of pieces in between, but I said, you know, there you've got this or this. Is it possible that there is another way to approach relationships? Is there a middle place? Is there a more aligned place? And I made, you know, we were on Zoom, so I was able to make these gestures, right? So that was an is it true question, right? Is it possible that there is another way to approach this where it doesn't have to be this or this, it can be this? And she took a moment and she said yes, but I could hear like she wasn't totally buying it. Like she said yes, and we were opening it up, but these were ingrained pretty deeply. So I was like, hey, to myself, I was like, you know, we'll keep on going, we'll see. But I noted the hesitance. And so then I asked, so if you were in this place, this aligned place, what would that perspective be? Right? That's a what's the higher wisdom question. So what would this perspective be? And that's when the hesitancy really came out. She said, well, I don't know because I've never experienced that before. So how can I know, right? So there was some resistance, some confusion, some not knowing. But again, as we've learned previously, practitioners, we expect resistance. It's okay, like we were on the edge of something so important for her there. Of course, some of that's going to come up. Continue to lovingly hold the container. And so I said, I get it. Of course, that makes sense. If you haven't experienced it, you may not know. Are you willing to guess? Right? It doesn't even have, like, we're not going for right or wrong here, like, for you to even believe it. But if you can sense into what the belief in this middle place is, what would you guess that would be? And she took a moment, and she really had to work to allow herself to be there. And I may have even prompted her a little bit, you know, to close her eyes and to feel into that aligned place. And she eventually said, well, the belief there is I can have a relationship without sacrificing myself. And so from there, you know, I encouraged her, doing great, you know, all of that. And from there, I said, even if most of you doesn't believe this, even if 99% of you doesn't believe this, and just one little percent of you believes I can have a relationship without sacrificing myself, where is the place in your body that you believe this, right? So instead of doing the somatics in the step two, I was bringing the somatics in later in, right? She said her belly, and then we did some work in her belly, you know, how this belief and feels in her belly. It dialogued with her a bit more. So we did a dialogue with the new belief, not the old belief. And then so there I had a choice as a practitioner. If I would have felt that she was like uber ready to take the belief and make a decision about her relationship, I may have asked a question like, so from this belief, if you were to like really believe this belief, how do you want to move forward in your relationship? But I felt, especially because there was some of that hesitancy before, and I could tell she was a little bit of a, like her process was a little slower and she needed more time to sink in. I didn't want to go there and jump the gun in that session. So what I did at that point was I said, you know, my sense is that the more that you lean into this new belief, this new feeling, that you deserve to have a relationship and have your needs met, then the more clarity you'll gain about your next steps in your relationship. And the more that you can trust that that clarity will come from an aligned place. Does that resonate for you? And she said yes right away. And so from there, I gave her homework, you know, to reinforce, and the step five for her to journal from the new belief, to come back to the belief, to feel that feeling in her belly, etc. Now, that's the only session that her and I are, you know, for now are going to have together. She's not an ongoing client. If she would be an ongoing client in our next session, I'd circle back and see if she was ready for action then. So sometimes it's one session, sometimes it's longer than one session. All right, let me pause there. What are you seeing and learning from what I just described to you? From that process. Anything that wants to be shared or spoken? Rebecca.
Yeah, I love this idea of embodying the new belief. And, you know, what feels accessible to me, like even if just 1% of you can get on board with this, and then grounding it into the body. So much of what is showing up for me today with all of this is just, some of it has been touched on already, just around, like, you know, some of these thoughts
are the result of like lived experience. And it, you know, when I'm doing some of this work, like I have an embodied experience of it, and just kind of seeing both sides. Like I felt relieved when you're like, yeah, you can step out of this energy, right? And like, it's important to do that and to check in with the client and make sure that, you know, we're honoring what is. And then, you know, to see that go all the way to the other side where it's like, yeah, and then you get to embody this new belief. And that feels really important to like meet the lived experience with something new.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so well said. Absolutely. And then it's not like, and then it's new, and then it's there forever. It's like, it's a working towards, and there's backslides and, you know, all the things, but it's a new perspective and a new feeling and a working towards. Yeah. And that 99% or like even just a little bit, like, because sometimes there can be so much resistance to the new belief, right? Because it's like decades of the other one and like not working so well, but being safe in it, right? And so some clients are just like, woo, like they're ready, they're all in. And then other clients, it's like, if they're just a little part, right? Like just are you willing to consider to maybe think, right? Like, so we always, to use your language, like we want to meet the client where they're at with it. Yeah, thank you. All right. Well, thank you everyone for hanging on those extra minutes with me. When we come together next week, we'll do a demo and put this all, you know, integrate this all more. We'll demo, we'll unpack. I'm excited to see what comes through your homework for yourself this week. I'm excited for you to try this out with your clients. Let me know how it goes, and I'll talk to you soon. Have a great rest of your day.